Crown House by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace, starring Jane Asher, Gail Honeycutt, Polly James, Margaret Rawlings, Dinah Sheridan, Martin Jarvis, Richard Pascoe, and Dominic Rickards. Part 6.
Quite a nice little pile of presents. What's in yours, Cara?
A green leather writing case. I hope she likes the colour.
We've got her perfume. Can't go wrong with that.
Shh. Come on.
Come in. Mother said you...
Happy birthday, Jenny!
Who's got the key of the door, then?
Come along in, Jenny, dear. Make a space, Miranda.
All right, Daddy. Thank you.
You didn't think we'd let the day go by without a celebration?
I don't know what to say. You're all here.
Except for my wife, and she sends her love to you.
I think we should start. It's long past my usual tea time. The twins must be ravenous.
Come and sit down, Jenny.
Thank you. I never expected...
And make sure she has plenty to eat. Miranda, pass around the sandwiches.
Take two, Martin. They're your favourite.
Thanks. Stop being such little pigs, you two.
Open your presents, Jenny.
All these?
I love watching people opening up their parcels.
Oh, Lady Edith, what a wonderful collection of books.
Grace chose them. She knew what you'd like. They're from both of us with our love.
I think we should have some music. It's supposed to be a party.
Oh, jolly good idea. Martin, put something on. All Richie, right. Ask Jenny to dance, why don't you?
Lady Edith, please thank Miss Duncan for me. You've both been so kind.
Why don't you call in at the lodge this evening? Then you can thank her yourself. We'd love to see you.
I wish to leave.
Oh, don't be such a spoil sport, Mama.
I'm not. My wireless is waiting.
Go on, Richie, dance.
Yeah, I think I should take old B upstairs. Excuse me, Jenny.
Come along, Grandmama.
I'm too full to dance anyway.
I'll come with you, Richie. Your son will want his feed any minute.
May we be excused as well?
Oh, I think so.
Jolly good. Yes, I'll say.
Keep the pair of them out of mischief, Caro.
That's an impossibility.
Jenny, dear, I really am sorry that Alice isn't here. But, anyway, we both wanted you to have this pendant with our best wishes.
Oh, Lord Minster. It's exquisite.
I'm glad you like it. I thought it might suit you.
You chose it.
I'm afraid I had to. I'm not much good at this sort of thing, but
it's perfect. I hope that... I don't know how to thank you.
Happy birthday, Jenny.
Nick!
Oh, my dear boy! We weren't expecting you for weeks. On your way to East Africa, that's the last we heard.
The Prince of Wales came back early because of the King's illness, so I've got some leave.
Oh, well, I'm delighted. Oh, I'll go and warn your grandmother. Two celebrations in a day might be too much for her.
That's pretty. What's the stone?
Amethyst.
Aren't you going to put it on?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Your parents gave it to me. Oh, dear.
Let me.
Thank you. How does it look?
Lovely. You look lovely. Lovelier than ever. Have you forgiven me yet?
The new year is all forgotten. Oh, Nick. It's so good to see you. Is the Navy everything you'd hoped it would be?
It's hard to say. It's a demanding life. Exciting, often adventurous. Then there are lulls, endless weeks at sea. It fulfills part of my dream to live in the real world. We must talk. Endlessly.
November the 22nd, 1928. To describe my birthday would take more than the allotted paper. A magnificent cake, so many presents, and finally, out of the blue, Nick arrived, and we made our peace. I have promised to write. He misses news from home. I do wish Lady Alice had been here, but she is still in London with the Queen. I'm sure Lord Minster is longing for her homecoming.
William, dear, could I trouble you?
Of course. What is it?
This little hook at the back. I'm sure they put it there deliberately. Right between my shoulder blades where I can't quite reach it. Would you?
It'll be a pleasure. There. How do you get unhooked when you're at Eaton Square?
I go on struggling. If I'm really stuck, I have to ring for one of the girls. But it's much nicer having you to do it for me.
I always miss you when you're away.
I know. It's been dreadful this time. We were all so worried about the King.
Everyone hoped for the best and feared the worst.
That's why the Queen finally cabled to David on safari in East Africa, asking him to come home at once.
Must have been a shock for the Prince, finding his father so desperately ill.
I thought the Queen would break down when she saw him, but she didn't. She never gives way. Mind you, the situation did have its comic side as well.
Comic?
Well, in a way. The Duke of York said he'd heard a story that was going round. Apparently, the real reason for the Prince of Wales dashing home was that he was afraid, if anything happened to his papa, Bertie would bag the throne in his absence.
But mercifully, the King pulled through the operation.
It was touch and go, and he didn't recover as quickly as they hoped. The doctors say His Majesty will need a long convalescence, so the Queen has rented a house by the sea at Bognor, and she's asked if I will go with them to keep her company.
How long this time?
I don't know. Until he gets better, I suppose. However long that takes.
I see.
Well, I couldn't very well say no, could I? I am sorry.
Saturday, April the 13th, 1929. It's the 13th, but at least it isn't Friday, as I explained in my letter to Nick. I hadn't much news to tell him, except that Scott Hansen arrived unexpectedly.
Twins, you'll have to wash and change before lunch. You look like mudlarks.
Yes, in a minute. We've got to ask Richard something first.
Are you in a good mood, Richie? Because we want you to talk to Daddy for us.
Shut up, this is important. Let me tell him.
Sounds very serious, whatever it is.
Would it have anything to do with prep school, by any chance?
I told Father I don't want to go, but he won't listen.
Of course you want to go. I went there, so did Nick. We all go through it, old son. Prep first, then Eton.
Caro didn't go, and neither will Mandy.
Oh, well, it's different for girls, isn't it?
I don't see why, actually. I wish I had gone. I might have learned something useful.
But we want to stay together. Richie, won't you tell Daddy?
Oh, I'm keeping well out of this. He's bound to be in the garden. Why not go and tackle him again?
I can't. He's got Jenny with him. I don't want to interrupt when he's with her.
Whatever do you mean?
Nothing. He's talking nonsense. Martin, I told you, go and get washed.
We have a visitor. I found him wandering up the drive.
Scott!
Hi there. Yeah, I know I should have called you first.
Well, but my dear chap, you're always welcome. You're my wife's brother's brother-in-law. Now, what could be closer than that?
Well, I was in Medford on business, so I thought I'd drop by.
I thought you were going back to America.
Change of plan. I'm working for a new magazine in London, a political weekly. They sent me down to do an interview with someone, and here I am.
Well, I bet you could do with a drink. Talking politics is the driest thing I know. Whiskey?
Oh. Well, thanks. It's good to be back. How's everybody? Where's Lady Minster?
She's in Bognor. But don't worry. We'll find Mrs. Webster and see about your room.
Here you are, Scott.
Come on. Oh, never mind about the drink. I want to hear all about this new magazine.
It's called Tomorrow. Politically very aware. A step ahead of the present system, hence the title.
Tomorrow.
And when I said I could give them an inside story, they... Oh, but that's kind of secret. I can't tell you any more right now.
Don't you trust me?
Sure I do, but...
Then why not tell me? What are you working on?
Well, you've got to promise to keep it under your hat.
I won't tell a soul. See this wet, see this dry? Cross my heart.
That's my girl. The fact is, I didn't exactly tell the truth about what I was doing in Medford.
Well, I guess that. It's such a boring place. There's nobody there worth interviewing.
You'd be surprised. I've been talking to butchers and bakers and candlestick makers, the people who've supplied Crown House for generations.
this house? But why?
I've been commissioned to do a series on British aristocracy, and I'm using your family as a typical example. The trouble is, there's a heck of a lot I don't know. For a start, how long have the Gaunts been living here?
Oh, ages. Since James the First, I think. But that was before it became Crown House. The house was called Ebony then, and the village sort of grew up around it. It was renamed Crown House when Harry Gaunt was created the first Earl of Minster.
And what did the first Earl do to get himself a title? How did the Gaunts make their money?
I don't really know. But I could find out. I'll ask Grandmama. She's very good in family history.
You do that. But don't tell her why you want to know. This is strictly between you and me, okay?
Oh, Jenny, the very person. That's a bit of luck.
What's wrong, Mother?
Oh, it's so awkward. I don't know what to do for the best. Lady Caroline told the girls not to clean Mr. Hanson's room. It's not been touched. The bed's not even made.
I don't understand.
Well, he's doing some writing, seemingly. There are books and papers spread out all over the place, and he doesn't want any of them moved. Come and see for yourself. I mean, we can't have the guest rooms looking like pigsties now, can we?
Oh, dear. I do see.
I thought you might be able to tell the girls what they can dust and what they can't. I mean, a lick and a promise would be better than nothing. Looks as if he's just stepped out of his pyjamas and left them where... You mustn't touch those papers. That's what he's working on.
Oh, some of them had fallen off the table. I was just picking them up. That's peculiar.
What is?
Polly Harvey, showgirl, married Viscount Ebony, December the 24th, 1927. Why on earth is he writing about the family? First child, Alexander, honourable, born June the 2nd, 1928. Possibly shotgun wedding?
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Oh, excuse me, sir.
I said I didn't want anyone in here. You've no right to come snooping around my room.
Well, we only came in to see what needed to be done.
You were reading my notes. Spying on me.
Would you leave me to deal with this, Mother? I'd like to speak to Mr. Hanson on my own.
Well, whatever you think best, dear. I'll see you later, Jenny.
Right. Let's be quite clear who the spy is, shall we?
What do you mean?
How else would you describe yourself? To come into a private house uninvited, then set to work digging up any gossip you can find? That's what I call spying, Mr. Hanson. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It wasn't like that. I'm writing a series of articles on the aristocracy.
For one of the Sunday papers, I suppose. Revelations of sin in high society.
It happens to be a new political weekly with an enlightened viewpoint.
And that makes it all right? That allows you to play on Caro's feeling and betray her trust?
No, I'd never do that. I'm simply trying to get the whole picture, the changing position of society in Britain today.
You don't know the first thing about British society. For your information, honourable is spelt with a U. But I'm not surprised you can't spell it, since you obviously don't know the meaning of the word.
Don't force the lock, child. Gently does it.
Oh, Grandmama, they're magnificent. I never fail to be impressed by your pearls.
Practically worthless compared with what's underneath. Lift the tray.
Shouldn't I catalogue what's here first? But you did say it was time to increase the insurance.
Let me. Now then, what do you think of that?
A diamond? It's enormous.
And these, all of them.
Oh, shouldn't they be in a bank, Grandmama? Locked away somewhere safe.
I want them here where I can keep an eye on them. I don't trust banks.
I didn't realize you had such valuable jewelry. Did Grandpapa give it to you?
When I married him, of course. Heirlooms passed on from your ancestors. In time, they may even come to you.
How did all these jewels come into our family? Father has never really explained.
Well, you know the family fortune was amassed by the first Earl, Harry Gaunt.
He was a sailor, wasn't he?
My dear girl, he was practically a pirate. Those old sea dogs had no respect for the law. Captain Gaunt sailed the Guinea coast and robbed the Portuguese slavers. That's how he won his first booty.
You mean gold? From Africa?
I mean black gold. When he took Portuguese cargo, he smuggled it across the ocean to the Spanish settlers in the New World.
They had need of strong arms and legs to do the work, strong backs to bear the burdens. That's how Sir Harry made his fortune, sailing back and forth from Africa to America.
Are you saying he traded in slaves?
Well, of course he did. He built up a flourishing business, and we should be grateful to him. He'd never have won himself the earldom without the wealth he made from his trade. And he'd never have been able to build this house without it. How else do you suppose the house got its name? Ebony. Black and strong. I always thought Sir Harry must have enjoyed his joke.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They're the very devil to plant out, aren't they, Jenny?
Oh, hello.
Still, andirondums are a great favourite of Alice's.
Yes, they're so tiny. Mm. Hello, Martin. Miranda.
Hello, Jenny.
I've been trying to explain to this young shaver the benefits of prep school. I need backing up by an expert. They're trying to persuade me to send them to some co-educational establishment.
Oh, well, I'm not an expert. But it's true, Martin. Schools like that couldn't possibly prepare you for Eton. And that's where you'll go eventually, like Richard and Nicholas.
But I'm not like Richard and Nicholas.
And what do you know about it anyway?
Miranda, apologise immediately. You don't address Jenny in that manner.
Father, I've just heard. Hmm? Scott's come back to London already. He's been called away in business. Did he say anything to you?
Not a word.
I can't understand it. Surely he could have explained.
We know why he went. She turned him out of the house.
What are you talking about?
It's true. We were outside the blue room. The door was open. We heard what Jenny said to him.
She said he was a spy and he ought to be ashamed of himself. That's why he went away.
We saw him go.
You said what? Martin, Miranda, leave us alone, please. This is private.
Why you always leave us out?
I don't understand. Did you have some kind of argument with Mr. Hanson?
He came to dig up discreditable stories about the family. He was going to attack you in some magazine. I told him that what he was doing was despicable, to accept your hospitality and then abuse you behind your backs. I thought it was mean and dishonest.
Dishonest? How dare you? How dare you accuse Scott of dishonesty, you of all people?
Caro, have you taken leave of your senses?
And you're just as bad, both of you. Having an affair whilst Mother was away.
What?
Oh, don't look so affronted. The twins saw you kissing and cuddling. They told me ages ago. You disgust me.
Friday or not, the 13th lives up to its reputation. I am still shaking from the events of today. But now worse has happened. Caro has disappeared. Packed her bags, left a note to say she was leaving for good.
Run away? But why should she do such a dreadful thing?
Haven't you any idea where she's gone?
London, bound to be.
According to Jenny, Caro's probably gone to find Mr. Hanson.
Charlie's brother-in-law? Good Lord, he's an American.
But what's he got to do with Jenny? Had Caro been confiding in her?
Well, damn it, why couldn't Jenny have warned us this was in the wind?
It wasn't like that at all. In fact, there was a difference of opinion between Caro and Jenny over that young man.
Oh, dear.
Do you mean Jenny's after him too? Good Lord.
Don't be a chump. He's not Jenny's type. Listen, why don't you?
Thank you, Polly. It seems young Hanson was gathering rather unsavoury material about the family for publication. Jenny discovered this and challenged him. He left immediately. And, of course, when Caro found out, she blamed Jenny.
And now she's gone, without saying where. Poor child.
Well, if Jenny's right, she'll go straight to Scott.
But do we know where the blighter lives?
Oh, Gina's bound to know. On one point, I'm quite determined. Whatever happens, I don't want your mother to be worried about this, Richard. Mm. She'd be dreadfully upset and to no purpose. We'll bring Caro back as soon as possible.
Bring her back? She's not a kid anymore, you know.
It's a question of talking to her sensibly, persuading her that she's acted hastily.
I'll fetch her back. It's a good hiding she needs, the young madam.
Oh, very tactful, dear. If you ask me, we ought to send a woman.
Oh, dear. I'm so bad at that sort of thing. Perhaps if Grace...
There's no necessity for that. Caroline is my daughter. I shall go to London myself.
William! Oh, my God!
Gina, I'm sorry I startled you. I should have rung the bell, but there was a young man leaving the flat as I arrived, and he let me in.
Oh, did he? Excuse me, do you mind if I just put these things away?
Oh, that's a handsome object. Is it 18th century?
Yes. Yes, a travelling writing desk.
Uh-huh.
The man you saw was thinking of buying it.
I wondered if he'd been taken ill. He was very pale. He seemed to be shivering.
Oh, well, probably just a hangover.
Oddly enough, he looked vaguely familiar. Felt I'd seen him before somewhere. Still, that's not important. I'm sorry if I startled you.
Oh, you just took me by surprise, that's all. What brings you up to town?
Well, I'm here on family business. Is Charlie at home?
No. No, he's out all morning, seeing his broker. What a shame you missed him.
Well, in point of fact, it was you I came to see. I wonder if you could give me your brother's address.
Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure. He's living somewhere up in Islington. I've never been there myself. It's not my kind of place. But I've got the address in my book somewhere. I know it's none of my business, but why are you looking for Scott?
I'm not. At least not exactly. I'm looking for Caroline.
The proofs are being corrected now. I'll bring them round by hand as soon as they're ready. Oh, hang on, there's someone at the door. Come in! I'm on the phone! Mr. Hansen says the front page will just have to wait till tomorrow.
Hello, Caroline.
I'm sorry, I can't explain now. I'll ring you back later.
Bye. I'm a little out of breath, I'm afraid. All those stairs.
It's no good, Daddy. I won't go back with you. You can't make me.
No, I can't do that. I can only ask you. That's why I'm here. To ask you to think again.
I won't do that either. I've got work to do here. There's nothing for me at Crown House.
There's your family. We all want you to come back. But I haven't told your mother yet. She doesn't know you've run away. If you come home, there's no reason for her to know.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Then you'd never have to explain why I ran away. You'd never have to own up about you and Jenny.
Look, you must listen to me. The twins made a mistake, and I have to put it right before it goes any further. On the day of the fire, Jenny was nearly killed. A burning branch fell from one of the trees, and I managed to drag her out of the way. I held her and comforted her, telling her she was safe. The twins must have seen us at that moment and misunderstood. But I promise you, I love your mother very much, and there has never been anyone else for me in the whole world. You must believe that.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry, but that wasn't the only reason I ran away. For ages now, I've been feeling like a prisoner. I hate everything Crown House stands for.
What?
Yesterday, Grandmama told me about the Gaunts being slave traders. Can't you understand why I hate it so much?
I understand that you feel very deeply about it. And I expect you feel deeply about Mr. Hansen, too.
Oh, we're not lovers, if that's what you mean. That's not why I came here. Scott's room is on the floor below, and I slept in that sofa, and...
Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, good afternoon.
You want to talk to me, I guess.
It's got nothing to do with you, Scott. This is between Daddy and me.
Well, all the same, I think we might exchange a few words, don't you? And perhaps we could sit down. I seem to have been on my feet for rather a long time.
Sure. Let's just clear away some of these file copies and then... Carol, why don't you slip into the kitchen and make us all some coffee? Or maybe you'd prefer tea.
No, coffee will be fine.
Well, all right. But don't say anything important till I get back.
I guess I should tell you I intend to stand by my principles. I plan to go ahead and publish my articles on your family in the interest
of... Please, one thing at a time. At the moment, I'm not worried about the articles, Mr. Hansen. The only thing that concerns me is my daughter.
I'm concerned about her, too. When she turned up here last night, I couldn't send her away. But I never laid a finger on her, in case you were wondering.
Yes, she told me that.
She's a great kid. And she's all set to become a writer. She's offered to work for the magazine as an unpaid office girl, to learn the business.
You think she has a future as a journalist?
Could be. She writes terrific letters, I know that much, and she's dead keen.
But she has no professional qualifications. She knows nothing about the practical side
of
journalism.
She can learn. That's what I admire about her. She's willing to learn, the hard way.
The kettle's nearly boiling. What have you been saying about me?
Well, Mr. Hanson thinks you have the makings of a journalist. Well, if you're serious about it, I'm prepared to help. If you have a genuine ambition to write, I think you should come home for a while. I will pay for you to go to classes in Medford to learn shorthand and typing and anything else that is necessary. And then, when you are properly qualified, you can go out and look for a job. With my blessing. Well, what do you say?
Flora, come and sit down. I've been wondering how you were all getting on in London.
My dear, I've been thinking about you. Stuck here in Bognor all these weeks. It must have been very tedious.
Oh, it hasn't been too bad. The Queen cheered up when His Majesty started to get better. And, of course, since Lilibet came to join us, he's been a different man.
I must say I was quite surprised when I heard the Yorks had sent her to stay here.
She did him more good than all the doctors. Look at them, out there, now in the garden. You see, we had a sandpit put into the lawn. The King's taught her how to make sand castles.
It's strange, isn't it, how he dotes on her? He was never that affectionate with his own children.
And she adores him, too. The Queen told me that last Christmas, even though it was such a miserable time for everyone with the King so ill, they had the carol singers at the palace. Lilibet heard the one about peace on earth, goodwill to all mankind, and she said afterwards, I know who old mankind is. She thought they were singing about her grandfather.
Oh, well, now you're free to go back to your own family. I'm here to take over. And I'll accompany their majesties next week when they drive back to Windsor.
Thank you, Flora. Oh, I must admit I'm very glad to be going home at last.
Here she comes.
Alice, my dear, welcome home.
Oh, William, it feels like a lifetime. Oh, Richard.
Hello, Ma. Nice to have you back.
Polly, dear.
Oh, the old place wasn't the same without you.
Mummy, you've got to see Seaside Rock.
Oh, one at a time. Give me a chance to breathe. Jenny, how are you?
Lady Edith sends her love. She says she'll come and see you at tea time.
Yes, but there's someone missing. Oh, Caro, there you are.
Hello, Mummy. I'm so glad you're home again.
It's wonderful to be back. Here you all are, the same as ever. That's the lovely thing about Crown House. Nothing ever changes.
Jane Asher was Jenny. Margaret Rawlings, Old B. Richard Pascoe, William. Dinah Sheridan, Alice. Martin Jarvis, Richard. Polly James, Polly. Dominic Rickards, Nicholas. And Gail Honeycutt was Gina in the sixth episode of Crown House by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace. Edith was played by Barbara Atkinson. Caroline, Cara Kelly. Lady Flora Kelso, Margaret Ward. Miranda, Andrea Keeley, Martin, Henry Power, Mrs. Webster, Eva Stewart, and Scott Hanson was Ian Michie. Crown House is directed by Graham Gold.